in Acts chapter number 2, the Bible says, beginning in verse number 41, the Bible says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto him about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's pray. Father, please help me. Lord, I thank you so much for all you've done here today. I thank you, God, for the service already tonight and how you spoke and blessed and moved and stirred hearts. I know you have. But now, Lord, we turn our attention to the preaching of the Word of God. And Lord, I need you, Lord, tonight. I need you more right now than I believe I've ever needed you in my life, God. Because you know my heart and my desire to obey you. I just want to be sensitive. I want to obey you and mind you. And I pray you to help me to do it. And I pray most of all, God, you help somebody here tonight, Lord. God, you know hearts and you know needs. And you're God and you're able, Father God, to meet every need. And I plead with you to do that. I pray you'd defeat the devil. I pray you'd bind every demon in hell. I pray you'd free the sweet Holy Ghost of God to move in and out of every aisle. Touch every heart and every life. Do the work that only you can do. But I know thou art God and thou art able, and I'm pleading with you to do it. God, we just yield it all into your hand and your care and trust you and praise you in advance for what you're going to do, because we've asked it all in faith, believing in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me ask you a question tonight. Let me ask you this question. What kind of church do you think Bible Baptist Church should be? Let me ask you another question. If every member of Bible Baptist Church was just like you, what kind of church would Bible Baptist Church be? I want to look into the Word of God tonight, and with the help of the Lord, I'm going to try to answer the question, what kind of church should Bible Baptist Church and every church be before the Lord? And we're looking at the early church here. And I'm going to look at several characteristics of the early church. And I want you to personalize it tonight. Listen, you cannot control what anybody else around you does. You cannot control the decisions and what anybody else does with what I'm trying to give you tonight, the help of the Lord. All you can do is, with the help of the Lord, personalize it and determine in your heart, just like Mary told him at the marriage there where Jesus did that first miracle, the marriage of Cana. She said to those disciples, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Don't think about anybody else. Don't focus on anybody else. But think about you tonight and ask God to help you do whatsoever he saith unto you. First of all, let me say this. The Word of God says there, what kind of church was the early church and what kind of church should our church be tonight? The Bible says there in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I submit to you that first and foremost, that the early church was an obedient church. And I would say to you tonight that with the help of Almighty God, that you and I ought to purpose in our heart to be an obedient member of the body of Christ. And if God's people would purpose to do that, and I tell you what, it wouldn't take very many of us to transform every church of the living God across these hills and hollers, up and down these byways and highways. And I want to tell you what would happen, just like we saw this morning in Sunday schools. We studied the life of Uzziah. I mean, that stuff is contagious, man. You cannot be serious about serving God, honoring God, and pleasing God, and it not rub off on somebody. Matter of fact, it can't help but rub off on somebody. And that's the way it was designed to be. And I'm begging God that He'll get a hold of some tonight and help us all to purpose and determine in our soul to be obedient. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Don't turn there. I'm already there. I'm just going to read it. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And then in verse number 17, the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Listen to me. I want to tell you something. God's a God of order. And God's laid this thing out just exactly as He has desired it to be. And here's how it works. Listen, God's at the top, obviously. God is over all authority. But I'm going to tell you, as far as the church of the living God, under Almighty God is the man of God, the pastor. And I want you to know, listen to me tonight, this being Pastor Appreciation Sunday, I want you to know I love that man sitting right there. And I know him a lot better than I think probably most all of you, a few of you know him better, especially obviously his wife and his children and his family. But I want to tell you, I was trying to think, I don't even know if he knows or not, but the first time I met this brother, I think it was over 30 years ago, I came and I sat and I listened to him preach a message at Hurricane Baptist Church in Wise, Virginia. And I was there with my brother-in-law, Tim Burnham, and he preached there that night, and I might even have a church wrong. But I tell you this, I can give you his message and the outline that he preached that night. And I want to tell you why. Because God spoke to my heart through that brother's preaching. And when I heard him preach, I knew that is a man of God. And I loved him, and my heart knit with him that night. Never dreamed or imagined years later we'd hook up. Be able to travel all over this country. I joked this morning about doing time in prison in about 15 states with him. And I don't know about all exactly how many, but it's a bunch. And I want to tell you what, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I knew when Brother Rick Vannoy was on my team, number one, we were riding together. Amen. I'm going to try to be nice here, but he knows this. They some old boys that didn't live too far from my house ain't riding with me 10 miles down the road, much less 14 hours. He knows exactly. Anyway, you behave. I'm telling you, God, but I'm going to tell you what. When me and old brother Rick got together, well, anyways, we had us a time now. But I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. Because his heart is with my heart. And I'm going to tell you, when I walked in prison with that man, I knew he was about business. He wasn't about messing around. He wasn't about wasting time. He is about getting after it. And I was right there with him. And I want to tell you, whatever where we ever went, I'm telling you, God helped us. And I loved it. And I told him today, I miss him. I miss him. But church, I said that to you to tell you. I'm going to tell you right now, I know the man of God you got here. And you're blessed. You may not know it, but I'm telling you, you're blessed. And I said all that to say this. I beg you, get in under him. Get behind him. Support him. Listen, not because he's a man, no, because he's God's man. And I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to be in the book. And I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to, and I can't say this about a lot of, I'm telling you, I'm in a lot of churches, people. I'm in a lot of churches. I know what I'm preaching tonight. I know what I'm talking about. I can't say this about a whole, I'm just telling you, I can't say this about a lot of men of God. But I know what he's going to do. Week in and week out, and message after message after message, he's on his face before God. He's seeking after Almighty God. And you want to know why? Because he takes what I just read serious. He's watching for your soul. Hey, families, listen to me. Hey, listen to me. He's interceding for you. I know what I'm preaching. Young people, you know what I'm telling you. He's interceding for you. He's laying you before Almighty God. He's begging God. He's begging God to protect you, to keep you, and to help you. And I pray that God will help you understand and realize how blessed you are and get under it and get with it and look out. And I'm going to tell you, if you'll do what I'm preaching, you better buckle your seatbelt, because I'm telling you, it'll get on and it'll get good. And who can tell what God might do? What did God, we'd all just purpose in our heart to get with the program tonight. And purpose in our heart to just do whatsoever He saith unto you tonight. Praise God, they were an obedient church. Praise God, they were an obedient church. Secondly, I thank God they were a caring church. The Bible says there and fellowship. The Bible says they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. I thank God they were a caring church. Hey, you know what? Listen to me. I remember when I was kind of like where a lot of people are at one time. Now, I ain't proud of this. Man, I got saved as a 16-year-old boy. And, man, when I got saved, I was so excited that, listen, man, I told anything it moved what happened to me, whether they wanted to hear it or not. And, you know, but I tell you what I did. Now, I'm not proud of this. But I got to looking around, and I'm just going to tell you how it was. It just appeared to me that pretty much everybody else had got over it. And I just did too. I kind of settled down the comfort zone. Now, I never got out of church. I never quit reading my Bible. I never quit praying. But I was running my life. I was making my decisions. I was doing my own thing. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm glad God didn't leave me there. He got a hold of me. And when He did, man, I wanted to do something. I was like old Uzziah this morning, man. I was wanting to get in it. You know what? God let me. You know what the first thing He let me do? He let me usher. Amen. He let me usher. And I enjoyed that. Man, I stood back there at the door. People come in. And I'm going to tell you what, they didn't nobody get by me. I made sure I got a hold of their hand. And I'm going to tell you right now, I did not give them a dead fish. Nor would I, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about or not. But if I shake your hand, man, I want to know you're alive. I want to know there's some blood flowing through them veins. And if you shake my hand and you give me a dead fish, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I want you to know that I'm alive. And I want to know you're alive. Amen. But I'd grab her hand. I said, God bless you. So glad to see you this morning. I'm so glad you came. And you know what? And we'd stand in the back. And then they'd always do this. I don't know if you did this. You didn't do it this morning. Not that you have to do it. But in the Fellowship Baptist Church in Whipple, Virginia, back in the day, they would always say this. If we had any first-time visitors this morning, would you slip your hand? We'd like to give you a visitor's card. I'd make a beeline for them, man. And I'd make sure I get over. And I'd shake their hand. And again, I'd let them know, God bless your heart. Listen, you know what? I realize and understand they didn't have to come to our church that morning. They had to come to church nowhere that morning. Here's a first-time visitor. You listening to me, church? Are you listening to me? I don't care where you're at in this auditorium. You look around and you observe and you see somebody that's not been here before. You know what? You ought to fall over each other to get to them. You ought to let them know, God bless your heart. If nobody else does, you ought to make sure they know you're glad they're here. And you're excited about the fact they chose to come, not to just any church, but this church. And you ought to make them want to come back. Amen. Well, I tell you what, I travel. I don't travel near as much as I used to. I do a lot more right here, and I like it. Amen, brother. I mean, I tell you what, I ain't messing that road at all. But you know what? I used to be out on the road. I'd be out on the road a lot. And I'd be out on the road, and Brother Rick knows about this. You'd be out there on a Wednesday night or maybe a Sunday morning or Sunday night. You're looking for a church. You don't. Sometimes, and he knows this too, I didn't know where I was at a lot of times. I earned the name Chief Get'em Lost from Rock of Ages, and I earned it, I tell you. But I'd be out there sometime, and I mean, I don't even know where I'm at, much less where a church is. And you know what? I'd just pray, Lord, I don't know where I need to be tonight, but help me. You know, and sometimes I'd see a church bus, and I'd follow a church bus. I figure, well, if they're out there picking up youngins, it's probably a good place to go. Not always, most time. And it only got me in trouble a few times. But anyways, or I'd see a steeple, and I'd just pray. And it just seemed like sometimes the Lord would say, just follow that steeple. And I'd pull in. And I get there, and you know what? A lot of times I get there, and I'd be so hungry and be wanting something from, you know, fellowship. And I get there, and I go through a whole service. And, I mean, and they go through an entire service, dismiss, and go out the door. Not one person walked by. Look me in my whites of my eyes and say, it's good to have you tonight. Oh, my soul. Listen to me. I learned some things, man. God help us. Listen to me. Nobody should ever walk into this church, it being their first time, or maybe just, first time in a long time, and them not know that you are excited about them being in your church. And I'm telling you, we ought to fall over each other. And but you know what? Hey, church, listen. I tell you what, this come to my mind. I'll go ahead and tell you about it. I was up in Northern Virginia. I preached in a church up there. I've only been there one time. But I was there that Sunday morning, and it was like this morning. We just did Sunday school, Brother Rick. And but I got to confess, I didn't teach. I preached. But anyways, but I had a good time. And I know God helped us. We had a sweet time that morning. Well, and I got through. There's this lady who's sitting on the very back corner. She made a beeline for me. And she come up there to me. Never forget her. And she looked at me and she said, "Preacher," she said, "I just want to thank you for reminding the Lord this morning." She said, "I want you to know I came to Sunday school this morning purpose to leave after Sunday school and not ever come back." She said, "I lost my husband over a year ago, and I'm just still downtrodden, and I was just a mess. And I just was ready to throw in the towel, go out the door, never come back. But," she said, "because you preached what you preached, and God spoke to my heart, I want you to know I ain't going nowhere. I'll be here Sunday morning for the service. I'll be back tonight, and I ain't going nowhere next week, next month. And by the grace and help of Almighty God, next year I'm going to be right here." And you know what, folk? I'm glad God's able to do that, amen. God's able to help us. God's able to help us. Listen to me. Listen to me. There are folk all around us. They're in trouble tonight. Hey, you don't ever know what somebody brought in the back door of that church when they came. You don't ever know the shape that they're in. You don't ever know what they're facing. I'm telling you. And what if, and we don't know this. Well, I do know this has happened. I absolutely know it has. What if somebody was absolutely at the end of their rope and they decided, you know what? I'm going to give it one more shot. I'm going to go down there to that Bible Baptist church, and I'm just going to give it one more shot, and I'm just going to see. And what if they came? And what if they sat here in this service, and they went through an entire service, and they didn't sense an ounce of the Holy Ghost of God, no care, no power, no unction, nothing. And they went out those doors, and we don't know that hadn't happened. We don't know that hadn't happened. But, oh, God help us. God help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. And oh, and you know what? You ought to pray God would bring those kind of folk in by the droves. I promise you they're all around you. They're up and down these hillsides. They're up and down about. They're everywhere. I know what I'm preaching tonight. They're absolutely out there. And I want to tell you what I know. If we'd pray like that, and we'd ask God to help us be the kind of church that could rescue folk like that, He'd send them in. He'd bring them our way. And He'd give us the joy of being able to see Him do a great and a mighty work. God help us. Yes, we need to be an obedient church. But praise God, I want you to know we need to be a caring church. And then I want you to know we need to be a praying church. Look what it says there. And in prayers, verse 42, in the last part of the verse. You know, you look over there. Just look down to Acts chapter 3. The Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer," being the ninth hour. Being the ninth hour, listen to me. I'll tell you, they were a praying church. You know what? I cannot read that without my mind going back to the Fellowship Baptist Church. And God got on my heart, and He got me, in the fight, and He stirred my heart. Hey, you know what? One of the first things our pastor did is he got up and he made an announcement. He said, "Men," he said, "we're going to start a Saturday night prayer meeting." He said, "We're going to be here on Saturday night at 7 o'clock, and I'm going to encourage every one of you all to come." And it wasn't just the men. He invited everybody. You know what? We came. Hey, let me tell you something. After God got a hold of me, I don't care what the man of God said, I was in. Amen. If a man of God got up and said, "I believe that God wants us to do," fill in the blank. I was there. Matter of fact, I come in just a minute or two late on one service and made an announcement about a meeting, and I didn't get it all, but I got the time. So I showed up there, and I was sitting there in the church there at that meeting that they announced. And I'm sitting there, and after I was there about 2 or 3 minutes, I looked around, and I noticed there wasn't no men in that meeting. I was the only man sitting there, and I... kind of concluded, I guess this is a ladies' meeting, and I quietly got up and slipped out. But listen to me. Hey, I made up my mind that the man of God felt like God wanted us to do fill in the blank as in, amen. And listen, Susan's mom and dad, we didn't have any kids then. And she said, she told us, she said, you guys just need to get you a cot, put it up down there at the church, and just sleep down there. I mean, you're there all the time. Hey, we wasn't complaining. We was having a time. We was enjoying. But listen to me. But Saturday night prayer meetings, we'd meet, and the men would come. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. Hey, I didn't know how to pray. Listen, I mean, I prayed, but I just had a little methodical, you know, prayer list, and I'd get it out, and I'd just go over it and just call out a little bit. There ain't nothing wrong with having a prayer list. I want to tell you what, I learned how to pray in them Saturday night prayer meetings. We got in a circle, and these men, I tell you what, they'd take prayer requests, and we had a blackboard in there, in that room we was in, and they'd put names up on that blackboard and needs, and the men would get down, and we'd pray over those prayer requests. And I want you to know, listen to me, man, them men would get down before God. I mean, there's lost loved ones on that blackboard. There's some sons, and there's some daughters, and there's some husbands, and there's some wives, and there's some brothers, and there's some sisters. And you know what? We got to praying over them. And I'm going to tell you what, those men got down before God, and I want you to know, God moved in that little prayer room, and God began to break our hearts for those lost loved ones on that board. And I'm going to tell you, the first few times, you know, I mean, and then just go around the circle, and if you didn't want to pray, you just tap the fellow beside of you, and then just go on. But I was in there one night, and I couldn't help it, you know, and I didn't know all about it, and I never prayed out loud before in my life, and I was nervous, and, you know, but I started out praying, and, you know, next thing I know, I got caught up, and next thing I know, it's like there wasn't nobody in that room but me and him, and I just began to tell him all about it. You know, 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I began to tell him about a daddy, an alcoholic, drunkard daddy. And I began to tell him about my mom. And I began to tell him about my brothers and my sisters. And I began to tell him about my desire to see them all saved. And I began to tell him about one day, Lord, just looking ahead and imagine us all being together in his presence and begging God to help us. And I want to tell you what, and them old brethren, I'm tell you what, they got in there with me, and we prayed for each other's burdens, and we began to see God help us. And I want to tell you what, and then we'd meet on Sunday morning. I want to tell you what would happen. Listen, we'd get there on Sunday morning, and listen, you'd be looking and you'd be watching. And by the way, when you pray like we was praying, it started out Saturday night prayer meetings, but then it broke loose, and I'm going to tell you what, men start saying, well, why don't we do an all-night prayer meeting? Now, when's the last time you heard anything about an all-night prayer meeting anywhere? We used to have them. And I'm going to tell you what, we would, listen, here's how we'd do it. We'd get up on Friday, and I'm going to tell you, nobody does this. I know they don't. And if you do, hey, you know what, you and God know and bless you if you do this, but I don't believe much of this is going on at all. But we didn't just pray. We did that other thing. You know, Jesus, yes, sir, Jesus talked about it. He said, them disciples, they couldn't cast the devil out of this man's son. And Jesus did it. They said, why couldn't we do it? And he told him, this kind goeth not out but by what? Fasting and prayer. And so, you know what? We'd go all day. And we'd push away from the table. And then we'd meet in there on Friday night about 6 o'clock. And we'd pray till sun up. I'll tell you what, the first Saturday night I got there, I thought, after about 3 hours, I thought, man, we done prayed around the world, man. What else are we going to do? I mean, it's only 9 o'clock. But you know what? Hey, you know what? God began to move. And I'll tell you, we began to do seasonal prayers. And God just, I want to tell you what, God blew through there. And next thing you know, I mean, it's 6 o'clock. The sun's coming up. And we're leaving out of there knowing that God has met with us. And I'll tell you what, when you pray like that, and you mean business like that, then you come to the house of God on Sunday morning, you ain't just showing up. You ain't just there. You're there believing that there's a God in heaven that did just what he said he'd do. You know, and I mean, verse 43 said this, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the power of God being upon it. I'm talking about the power of God showing up, and that's exactly what happened. We'd be in there, and people would be watching, and somebody would walk in the door. And then the word would get around. That was one of those folk whose name was on that blackboard. And you get so excited because you know he's brought them. God's brought them. He's got them here. And then you know what? Preacher would get up and absolutely deliver his soul. And then after the service or after the preaching, the most important time of the service, the invitation would get on. And listen to me. Listen to me. When that invitation started, there is no way in this world that I could sit in my seat. And I wasn't alone. I got up out of my seat. I got down. I found my way to the altar and I got down before the Lord. And we're begging God. Oh, we're begging God, Lord. Oh, God, please don't let them leave out of here the way they come. Lord, please. God, don't let them. Lord, you brought them. They're here. Lord, don't let them leave the way they came. And you know what? I wasn't the only one there. I looked around about every one of those men that was back there in that Saturday night prayer morning. They was on that altar. And they was begging, hey, church, you listen to this preacher. You listen to me. You listen to me. You listen to me. You want to know why we don't see more done? You want to know why we don't see the Spirit of God work? You want to know why we don't see people saved? You want to know why we don't see God do? I'm telling you, listen, it's right here, folk. It's right here. This is it. This altar, listen to me. This altar is your friend. This altar is your friend. Do not ever be afraid to get on an altar. Do not ever be afraid to come before the Lord and lay your burdens before the Lord and ask God to intervene and ask God to help you. I'm telling you, God's able. I'm telling you, God wants to do. The Bible says what? In James 4 and verse 2, you have not. Why? Because you ask not. You want to know why we don't see the Spirit of God work and the Spirit of God move and the Spirit of God do? When's the last time? Listen to me. I want to tell you, when I first got saved in 1973, it was not uncommon to be in a service on any night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, and hear somebody at the altar. I mean, listen, you might not even have seen them, but you sure heard them. Because I'm telling you, they begin to weep. And I mean, they begin to get under a burden. And they didn't care who was listening or who was hearing because they wasn't talking to them or praying to them. They was ushered into the throne room of Almighty God. And they were laying burdens at His feet. And they were asking God. They were asking the God of heaven and the God of glory and the God of creation to do something about that thing. That had got a hold of them and arrested them. And I'm going to tell you, listen to me, that's what's missing today, church. Listen to me. We don't have time to pray like that today. I'm telling you the truth. We don't have time. We come to the house of God. I know you know it's the truth. We come to the house of God and we got a little program set up. We got it all worked out. And we know exactly what we're going to do, when we're going to do it, and how long it's going to take us. And we didn't come to worship. We didn't come to get help. We didn't come to seek after God. We come to do our little service, get out the door, and get on back to doing whatever it is we really want to do. God help us. No wonder we don't see God move. No wonder we don't see God do. And you know what? There are people all around you. They've got needs. You have no idea. You have no idea what they're dealing with. You have no idea what they're messing with. You know, I have no idea the bondage and the power of the demons of hell that have gripped their soul. I beg you, oh God, be sensitive. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. God, help us to come. Now, you know what? I started seeing this. Brother Rick, you know what I'm talking about. Listen, we get in these prisons. Hey, we get in these prisons. We did not just show up. We didn't just show up at these prisons. And we didn't just come and just go through the motions. We prayed for weeks ahead of time. And we begged God to do. We beg God to go for us. We beg God to prepare. We beg God to do. And I'm going to tell you, listen to me. Prayer, I'm telling you, is the missing ingredient. You come prayed up, fessed up, looking up, expecting God to show up no matter what service you're in. I promise you, God's in tune. He's right there and He's ready. And it don't take that many. I'm telling you, it doesn't. God help us. God help us tonight. Listen, you know what? I did a lot of these prisons. And then one of the men started going to these children's homes. And he called me one day after doing a revival to children's home. He said, Brother Jimmy, he said, you got to come down here with me. He said, you wouldn't believe what I've witnessed this week. And, you know, I mean, I listened to him, And I put it down, and I ended up getting down there to the revival to the next time they got there. I went. But I'll be honest with you, I went there that week expecting just to be another 3 or 4 days of meetings and be done and go on my way. Oh, my. I want you to know God did a work that week. And I'm going to tell you why he did a work that week. He did a work that week because of three things. Because men of God came with a message. Listen to me. We don't know what they need, but God does. And God will give the man the message. And we came praying. And then I already mentioned it, but we did that. We took at least one day of the week, every man on that team, took at least one day of that week, pushed away from the table, laid them youngins before the Lord and begged God. Begged God, because you know what we know? You know what we realized? There's this little small window of opportunity to get to them. There's a small window of opportunity. And if you don't get them in that small window of opportunity, I'm telling you, they're gone. They're going right back out. And they're going right back into bondage, and the powers of hell will win the victory. We prayed, and this is another thing we did. We had men on the team that would pray the whole time services was going on. I like that. I like that. You know, the first couple of days they had me preaching because I had never been there. And the other men were praying. And I'm going to tell you what, those youngins, don't listen to me. I've been in some of the worst prisons in this country. Brother Rick can say the same thing. I have. I've seen some of the meanest looks you ever saw on them. But them men had nothing on these girls. These were 26 girls, ages 13 to 18. I'm going to tell you, these girls were rough. And, man, I'm telling you, if it wasn't for one youngin' that I am convinced, Rachel Strickland, was sitting on that second pew, and she had gotten saved. And if it wasn't for her, I probably would have, I don't know, I probably would have run. I'm telling you, I never... Listen, I had a youngin' sitting on the front row right there mocking me. And I never had that in prison. I never had a youngin' do that to me in prison. I'm pouring my heart out. She's sitting right there laughing and mocking and absolutely making a... You know what? But we just continued to pray. I mean, Wednesday morning, we're in there, me and two other preachers. And we got through at the season of prayer. I knew when we got done, something had happened out there in that auditorium. I couldn't wait to get out there and see what happened. Sure enough, two of them youngins had stepped out and got saved. Now, listen to me. If you'd have asked me, I wouldn't have given you a plug nickel for none of them's testimony of salvation except for that one youngin I talked about, Rachel Strickland. Rest of them, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for today. But you know what I found out? I found out that most of them girls were saved, but they had a lot of stuff. They had a lot of baggage. When them two come and got saved, the rest, I mean, they just started moving. And they started getting right. And God blew through there, and it got good. When I first stepped on them grounds, I knew these kids traveled and sang. They traveled all over and sang. I wanted to hear them sing. I asked that director. I asked him as soon as I got there. I said, well, are we going to get to hear these kids sing? He said, Brother Jimmy, you don't want to hear these kids sing right now. He said, now, if we have revival this week, you know, maybe we'll see. I want you to know, after them kids got right, you know what they wanted to do after that? They wanted to testify. I wish you'd have been there. I wish you could have heard what these ears heard. I'm sitting there listening to this. Oh, bless my soul. Youngin' after youngin' after youngin'. I'll just go ahead and tell you this. Most good Baptists couldn't have handled this service. And I want to tell you why. We had a start time. We didn't have no ending time. And this went on for hours. I'm telling you, it went on for hours, but it got good. And listen, now, after these youngins testified, Brother Mike Reason made this statement. He said, now, youngins, he said, I think you might be ready to sing now. He said, I want every youngin that can sing out of a heart of an adoration and praise unto the Lord to get up and come up here on the stage here. I want you to sing. Well, he looked out there. There was four youngins still sitting out there. And he looked at them and he said, youngins, I don't leave nobody out. Listen, if you still got something in your heart you need help with, just get out of your seat, stop at the altar. Somebody will meet you there and help you. You can take care of it and join them. Two more stepped out. They got right and they joined them. Now there's only two sitting back there. And he went ahead and let them sing. Oh, my soul. They started to sing. I want you to know when they started to sing, glory came down. I tell you, it got good. I was sitting over here on this side, and I sat behind... You know, Brother Jamie Doss. I mean, this man, He's about yay high and about yay wide. I'm just telling it as it is. And I'm behind him, but I can't see nothing. But I can just see him. And I'll tell you what he's doing. He's giving it this. And I'm like, man, a man's about to explode. He's about to blow. And I'm like, but I'm excited about what I'm hearing. Next thing I know, old brother Jamie Doss took off. I mean, he lit out of there. He come around through here. And he come around. He got about right here. And he's doing that victory lap, Brother Dave. But when he got right here, what happened next was incredible. That first youngin' that was right here just fell in behind him. And then there was a train of youngins following old Brother Jamie Doss in a victory lap for the glory of God. I'm over there, glory to God. Yes, 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 glory to God. Oh, my soul, do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? Hey, God's able tonight. I'm telling you, God, you know what happened next? Listen to this. You know what they did next? They lined up outside the director's office, and this is why. You see, they aren't able to call home or have in contact with home for 3 months when they get there. It's a year program. For 3 months, no contact with home. But understand something. These kids, the last words they said to mom and daddy, when mom and daddy wrecked their little party, and that's exactly what happened, and brought them to a place where they could get help, because they was at the end of themselves, and they loved their youngin', and they brought them there. Last words these youngins said to mom and dad was, I hate you. I don't want to ever see you again. You know what? That'll work for a little while. But I'm going to tell you right now, when you get right with God, youngins, it don't work no more. And it didn't work for them. And they got special permission, and they're on the phone talking to moms and dads all over this country. And I'm in there in the office, and I'm listening, and I'm hearing shouts and praising God from the other end of the line. And you know what? I didn't have nothing. That meeting, it ended on Thursday. But I didn't have nowhere to go till Monday. You know what I done? I hung around. And I'm so glad I did. You know what happened? Mamas and daddies got permission to come. They come from, listen, hey, we're in Florida. They come from Texas. They come from Louisiana. They come from Pennsylvania. They come from you name it. And they showed up there. And I'm going to tell you what, it did my heart so good to see mamas and daddies and brothers and sisters that the powers of hell thought they had absolutely destroyed and demolished families, and see them come back together and see God restore them and see God bless them. And that wasn't the end of it. I got to go back and go back and go back. And I can tell you story after story, but what am I saying to you? I'm telling you, God's still God, and God's still doing. Man, we was in that office there. That brother Mike Reason picked up the phone at the end of that revival. He called down the road to Jay, Florida, and another children's home. He told that director about us and what we'd just experienced. That man booked us on the spot, sight unseen. A couple months later, we blew in down there, and you know what? He did it again. In fact, I believe it was gooder there than it was at Tallahassee. And listen to me. I'm just telling you. You know what? You talk like this, and you try to tell people that God's still doing. Y'all guys, you wouldn't have believed camp. I'm telling you, Sand Mountain Bible Camp blew most of you out of the water. Maybe not, but I'm thinking it probably would. And you know what? I'm just saying, God's still doing. God's still working. God's still able. Most of us don't believe that, but I'm here to testify and tell you that he's still on the job. He's still on the job. And I want to tell you what. Listen, if we'll just lay before the Lord, and we'll get earnest about it, and we'll be real, folk, I'm telling you, God's still able. God's still able. Now, let's continue here. Look at verse 44. The Bible says, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple. And verse 46b said, and singleness of heart. Now, I want you to know, listen to me, what else were they? Yes, they were an obedient church. Yes, they were a caring church. Yes, they were a praying church. Yes, they were a church that had the power of God upon it. But I want you to know they were a unified church. I'm telling you, there's one phrase that goes throughout the book of Acts and the early church, and this is it. In one accord, in one accord, in one accord. And it ain't talking about a Honda. I'm telling you, the church of the living God was in one accord. They had one mind, one heart, one goal. And it was to reach the lost and dying world with the gospel. And they were determined and purposed in their heart to keep the main thing the main thing. And I'm going to tell you, church, if you ever get away from keeping the main thing, you're off track and you've blown it and you've messed it. And I'm telling you, there's churches springing up all over this place, all around these areas. And they, listen, you know what their focus is? Draw the crowd. Draw the crowd. Draw the crowd. And you know what? You can compromise a little here. You can compromise a little here. And I'm going to tell you, you can get the youngins. Are you listening to me, youngins? Yes, you can. You can go after it. You can have a good old time. But I'll tell you what, it'll be in your flesh. It'll be in your rotten, corrupt flesh. I'm talking about contemporary music. I'll just go ahead and tell you, that stuff's out of the pit of hell. That ain't never stirred a heart of a genuine child of the living God to stir him on to a closer walk with the Lord and great and mighty things before him. But I'm telling you, we're compromising there. And I'll tell you where else we're compromising. We're compromising with the message. We're compromising with the message of repentance and faith for salvation. They preach what I call a fluffy gospel. And I tell you, you can get them in. And you can stamp them on a card. And you can add your church rolls, you know, and you can have them overflowing. And you can have people falling over each other to get there. But I want to tell you what you won't have. You won't have substance. And you won't have the power of Almighty God. And you won't have the Spirit of God. And you'll not get real help. And when you need real help, that ain't a place you're going to want to go. And you ain't going to want to take anybody else. God help us. God help us. The Word of God, Jesus said it. He said He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what it's about. He said, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. That's got to be our focus. That's got to be our goal. And I'll tell you, if we'll keep the main thing, everything else will fall in place. Well, let's continue on. What else were they? The Bible says there in verse 45, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. I want to tell you what else they were. They were a giving church. They were a giving church. Hey, you know what? Have you figured this out yet? I know y'all all can quote this. You can quote that Bible verse. It's more blessed to give than to receive. How many of y'all believe that? How many of y'all have tried that? How many of y'all lived that? How many of y'all have exercised that? Listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back tonight, but I just want to tell you something. I thank God for the opportunity to be able to give. I love to give. I love to give. And I'm going to tell you something. You are not going to, the Bible doesn't say it, but there's a quote. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And I'm going to tell you what. You stay before the Lord and you stay at His feet. I promise you, you're going to give. You're going to give. You just are. And I want to tell you something. I'll go ahead and tell you, I love it. I love to give. And I'm thankful that God gives us opportunity. But it reminds me of this man that I met, and he really blew me away. This man carried around a $100 bill everywhere he went to give it away. And I'm going to tell you, if I tell you who this man is, you'll go try to find him. But I'm going to tell you right now, he did. He would do that, and he didn't do it to boast, but the word got out. Wherever that man showed up, he had a $100 bill, and somebody was getting it. And I'm going to tell you what, to just hear stories about it, and he didn't tell it, everybody else did. But I'm going to tell you, his wife told this on him. One night he was at home. It was midnight. This is an evangelist, by the way, and he travels all over. But he was at his house there, and he was about ready to go to bed at midnight. God spoke to his heart. He said, I want you to go to the airport, 12 o'clock midnight. He's like, Lord, go to the airport. Well, I don't go to the airport. Ain't nobody at the airport. He said, yeah, there is. You need to go to the airport. So I think this was in Atlanta, the Atlanta airport. He goes to the airport midnight. He walks in the airport, and he's just standing there looking around. Okay, God, I'm here. Now, what am I doing? Next thing he knows, he looks up. This woman walks in the door. He recognizes her. He just preached a revival in this lady's church. And he doesn't not know the situation, but he just speaks to her. And she comes over to him, and they begin to talk. And as he's talking to her, God says, she needs that $100. So he reached in his pocket, and he handed her $100. Well, when he handed her that $100, she had a spell right there in the airport. And evidently, there's a few people there, because the story goes that, everybody in the airport stopped and turned and just was just mesmerized by the scene. And it was wild. And then she told the story. She said, preacher, I just want you to know that my son is having emergency surgery, and I forgot what state it was in, but it's quite a ways away. And she was $100 short of having enough money to book her ticket. And God said, you go to the airport, take care of the $100. And she got to the airport. And this old brother, because he is sensitive to the good Holy Ghost of God, was able to, on the spot, hand her the $100 that allowed her to purchase the ticket and get on the plane to go to her loved one. Well, after she told him the story, Then he had a spell. And they done it all over again. It was a different group of people. And I'm telling you, listen, what a joy. What a joy. I'm trying to hurry, but I got to tell you this. Several years ago, and I don't know the year. My wife would know the year. But I'm not going to ask her, but I know she knows. But my oldest son Titus and his dear wife Dorothy were carrying our first grandchild. And we were so excited about it. And we were thrilled about the excitement of our first grandchild. Well, it was December the 13th. She had to go to the hospital. She was only, I believe, 23 weeks along. And the baby was coming. And they had to do emergency surgery. And actually, they flew her from Withful to, I believe it's Johnson City Medical Center, because they specialize in premature births there. And they flew her by helicopter, and we got in her car, and we rushed our way there. And, you know, they told Dorothy, they said, this baby is going to be born dead. We just want you to know that. And they wanted her to expedite the process and just take the baby. And she said that she wanted to have the baby. She went through the process of labor. We're in the hospital. And we're there. And we're waiting and we're praying. And we're just waiting on this little baby to come out dead. Well, the baby came out. And, you know, as the doctors do, they whopped it on the behind. Well, the baby squalled. And when the baby squalled, I wasn't in the room. I was out praying, but I heard the baby squall. And I come running in there. And they whisked the baby away, of course, and took it away. And they had it hooked up to all kinds of stuff, machines and all. But long story short, I spent a lot of time those days in the prayer chapel. I was in there praying for little Savannah Danae and begging God that He would intervene and raise this baby up and that she would live. And I was in there. I was in there one time and praying, and I was over in the corner, and this man walked in, and he didn't know I was in there. And he knelt down there, and he began to pray, and he's praying out loud. And his daddy was in a coma up on about the fourth floor, I believe. And he was talking to the Lord, and he said, "Now, Lord," he said, "now, you know that because I won't leave the hospital as long as my daddy's up there in that coma, I've lost my job." And it was around Christmas time. And he said, "Lord, you know I got 3 youngins." And he said, "Lord, you know that unless you do something, them youngins ain't going to have nothing for Christmas." And he said, "God, I'm just telling you, I'm trying to obey you. But Lord, would you take care of my babies? Would you work it out for them to have Christmas?" And that man never knew I was in there. He got through praying and he slipped out. And I did look at him. I wanted to see him. He didn't see me, but I looked at him. And I began to pray for that man and that need. And as I prayed, God smote my heart and He said, "Boy, you're going to do something about that." And I reminded the Lord, "Lord, I ain't got no money." He said, "I'll take care of that." And I said, "Lord, I don't know that man. I don't know where he's at. I don't know how I'll ever see him again." He said, "I'll take care of that." Well, I went home that night. And I prayed. And the next morning, I walked in the hospital. And I'm standing there. And God's told me, He said, "Boy," He said, "I know you got several bills due, but don't worry about the bills. You take this amount of money, you get it out of that ATM right there, and you hand it to that man." And I said, "Okay, Lord, that's good, but I still don't know the man. I don't know where he's at." No sooner than I withdrew that money out of that ATM, I looked up, and that man was walking in the door. I walked over to that man, and I said, "Sir, I said, I hope you'll forgive me, but I just want you to know I was in that prayer chapel there the other night when you was praying, and you didn't see me, but I was already in your praying, and I heard you pray. And God spoke to my heart, and God told me to give you this for them 3 youngins to buy Christmas." And I put that money in His hand. When I put that money in His hand, He started bawling like a baby. And He said, "You got to come upstairs and meet my daddy." His daddy had come out of a coma. He said, "You got to come upstairs and meet my daddy." I went upstairs. I met his daddy, and I met his wife, and I met them 3 youngins. And we had a hallelujah shouting time around that bed. But, folk, all I'm saying to you is, hey, listen to me. We need to be a giving church. And then, thank God, the Bible says in verse 46b, they did eat their meat with joy and gladness. Thank God they were a joyful church. Praise God. I want you to know, listen to me. If we'll do these things that I'm preaching about, listen to me, this will all fall in place. And I'm telling you, praise God, listen, you'll have something to shout about. Amen. I'm telling you, God will do it over and over and over again. And then the Bible talks about in verse 47a, let me read that real quick. The Bible says, in praising God, listen, thank God they were a praising church. Hey, you know what? Listen to me. I don't know how it is around here, but I know in the church there, back at Fellowship Baptist Church, I've talked a lot about them tonight, but they'd do this every now and then. The pastor or maybe the song leader, he'd stand up and he'd say this. He'd say, anybody got a word of testimony? I'm going to tell you, when that would happen, most of the time you hear a pin drop. I mean, it gets so quiet. But there's this one man who would always get up. He would give a testimony, but it was the same testimony every single. You could quote word for word what he was going to say before he said it. And the thing that got a hold of my heart was it was something that happened 30 years ago. And listen to me. Hey, thank God for what God did in that man's life 30 years ago. But help my time. If God ain't done nothing in our life in the last 30 years, God help us all. In fact, if God ain't done nothing in our life in the last week, in fact, if God ain't done nothing in your life today, God, you know what? Hey, you know what? After a little bit of that, they asked for a word of testimony. Me and Brother John Burcham Jr., who y'all have no idea who he was, but my wife knows, we'd be fighting over each other, be the first one up. Why to be seen? No. Because listen to me. I purposed in my heart. Listen, I want to praise him. And listen to me. If we'll follow these steps tonight, I promise you we'll be a praising church. And then, ninthly, and it says, and having favor with all the people. You know what? They were a going church. You can't be a going church. You can't have favor with all the people unless you're a going church. But I got news for you. If you'll go, he'll take care of the favor. If you'll go, he'll take it. And I know how that is. Listen, I know. Listen, every one of us have to overcome that fear. Every one of us have to overcome that obstacle. But I promise you, if you'll be obedient, God will honor and God will do. I want to tell you this real quick. Me and my wife and my boy Levi went bowling Saturday night in Christiansburg. And we're there having a good time bowling. And you know what? Listen, there's this old boy and this young girl in the lane beside of me. And I see them, but I'm just going about our business and we're bowling. But God helped me, Brother Rick. He helped me bowl 3 strikes in a row. It was God, I promise. But after I bowled that 3rd strike, that old boy come over to me and he said, man, you got to show me how to do this. And I said, you're talking to the wrong man. And I did tell him what I did. I said, man, I just try to line it up between the hour to the right and the one to the center, and I just throw a straight ball right down in that pocket. I try. Don't work often, but every now and then. But that when I get a strike, that's what happens. And, you know, a little while later, he got a strike. He come over and give me a big high five. And, man, he's all pumped and excited. And, you know, through the rest of the game, he talked to me. He talked to me several times. And I thought, glory to God. You know, and I'm looking at this couple. Well, I mean, they're just youngins. But, you know, God's working on me. And he told me, he said, boy, you can't leave out of here without telling them about me. And I had my own shoes. My wife and Levi turned their shoes in. I said, I'll be right there, but I got to do something. I walked over to that old boy. And I said, listen, man. I said, listen to me. I know you're just having a good time. But I want you to know I cannot leave out of here without telling you something. I don't know that I'll ever lay eyes on you again in this life. But you have got to know there's a God in heaven that loves you. That died on an old rugged cross over 2,000 years ago for you. And I told him, and I gave him the gospel. And that youngin, standing beside him, Brianna was her name, she began to bawl. And I'm telling you, and I gave a brief word. I promise it was brief. But I gave a brief word testimony how God saved me. And I told him I got saved as a 16-year-old boy on August 12, 1973. She spoke up and said I got saved on August the 5th, 2008. And I thought, glory to God. And listen, and that old boy did not get saved, but he promised me he'd go to Auburn Baptist Church. This morning, I don't know if he did or not, but I prayed. And you know what? But I thank God. He gave me favor, Brother Rick. What a blessing. You know what? Most of us, and I'm just being honest, and I don't always, but I'm so glad I obeyed him. Church, listen to me. Would you just be obedient? And would you just let God help us? And then you know what will happen. Lastly there, says, and the Lord add unto the church daily such as should be saved. Oh, I want you to know, hey, God will add to this kind of church. God sure will. God will bless. And can I tell you something, church? Every single one of you have a story that needs to be heard. Every single one of you have a story that needs to be told. Every single one of you, by the grace and help of Almighty God, you can be a part of this kind of church. And I beg you, I plead with you, and listen to me, I promise you, if we'll take what we've heard tonight out of the Word of God, not because the sorry excuse of a preacher tried to preach it, but because it's the Word of God, and because it's the truth, and because it'll work, I'm telling you, God will take over, God will intervene, and God will bless, and it'll work. And you'll be thankful that you were, by the help and grace of Almighty God, a part of this kind of church. I'm done. Brother Rick, you come on.